This is the Immigration Conversation presented by Fragomen, a series of talks and discussions by leading immigration lawyers and professionals from around the world who will bring you the most up-to-date business immigration news, issues of concern, and strategies in the world of global immigration and mobility.
Thank you for joining us for the first part in a series of episodes discussing immigration and workforce deployment within the oil and gas industry. In today's episode, we'll be focusing in on the industry within the sub-Saharan African region. My name is Murtaza Khan, a partner at Fragomen, and I have with me today three distinguished experts from Fragomen on immigration, compliance, and workforce mobility across Angola, Mozambique, and Nigeria in particular. We have Johannes Tiber, Caroline Kanzara, and Nompu Mulelo Mdjelche. Over the years, the oil and gas industry has become a crucial part of the national economies in several countries in the region. In the two largest oil producers in the SSA region, being Nigeria and Angola, oil exports account for around 90% of total export earnings. And for Angola in particular, this represents nearly 50% of GDP. For Mozambique, the country with the largest gas reserves, the significant yet untapped reserves are expected to receive billions in investments and contribute in the region of 100 billion of LNG revenues over the next 25 years. The operations of oil and gas companies in the region remain highly dependent on being able to mobilize their workforce. They may be technicians, engineers, management, and administrative talent from around the world and coming into the region. So what we thought would be useful for the industry would be an update on the current immigration and workforce deployment landscape in these three major locations. We will review what companies need to do when looking at remobilization in a post-COVID or with COVID, if like, environment, and look at the impact structural immigration policy shifts that are taking place may have over the medium to longer term as well. So once again, welcome to everyone. And I'd like to start with you, Johannes. As we look at the current situation, countries have started to open up government and immigration operations specifically, but are also looking at announcing the opening of airspaces, although many restrictions and limitations do remain in place. So can you give us a flavor of the landscape as it currently stands? And are there any concessions specifically for companies in the oil and gas sector to take advantage of?
Thank you so much, Murtaza, for the question. With COVID infections stabilizing in the region, governments are indeed starting to render immigration services to expatriates in oil and gas sectors and other sectors of the economy. The same is applicable in Angola, Mozambique, and Nigeria. Of great importance is that Angola has extended its state of calamity to the 10th of September 2020. As such, international airspace has been closed until further notice. In Mozambique, the authorities have returned the country to normal economic activity. And international airspace has therefore been opened, but most importantly opened to jurisdictions where you find that the country has been successful in concluding bilateral agreements for their planes to also land. In Nigeria, international airspace is expected to be opened on the 5th of September 2020. And as such, more immigration services are expected to come on board, like the issuance of the temporary work permit and also the registration of migrants on e-migrant system when the international airspace is finally opened in Nigeria. In as far as concessions are concerned, it is important to know that oil and gas sector being one of the critical sectors in Nigeria, Mozambique, and also in Angola, the authorities provided expatriates in those sectors with concessions because the lapsing or the expiry of their status during lockdown was beyond their control. Accordingly, in Angola, their permits were extended up until the 31st of August 2020. We expect further extension to be granted in the coming days. In Mozambique, the authorities allowed those foreign nationals whose visas have reached maximum extension to continue to apply for an extension. Those who are rendering essential services on short-term work permit and their permits are nearing expiry have been allowed to also make an application for an extension. In Nigeria, the authorities also provided concessions for expatriates, especially those in oil and gas sectors and other sectors of the economy. And those concessions were along the lines of allowing them to extend their work permit when they have expired during the lockdown phases. And that extension was made without any penalty. It is of great importance to note that the situation is very fluid, and fluid as it is, Fragomen is always doing its best to keep its clients abreast of the development. As such, it is advisable for our clients in oil and gas sectors to always contact their immigration experts for advice on developments regarding concessions and also the opening of international airspaces in their countries. Thank you very much, Mutaza.
Thanks, Johannes. So with all of the openings and some of the challenges and changes that you referenced that are constantly taking place, I'd like to just turn to Nompi to talk a little bit about, you know, what, more specifically about these challenges and importantly, what are the steps or best practices companies can follow to be able to execute on the remobilization of their workforce?
Thank you very much, Mutaza, for the question. As you rightfully pointed out, it has become significantly important for companies to go back to the drawing board in light of the COVID-19 pandemic and also for them to relook their remobilization plan. While a lot of movement has been restricted over the past few months, our best advice is that companies look at their planning. So this would include your HR teams, project managers. This would help significantly in terms of them being able to apply, in order for them to be able to plan and avoid any delays. We also look at start dates. This would include that companies need to consider quarantine timelines that have been put in place in all the different jurisdictions where they intend on moving their workforce, and also consider collating documents well in advance and getting experts. So while consulting their experts, they would be able to get a clear understanding of what is actually happening on the ground and also the kind of flexibility that is being applied by the authorities. As Johannes has pointed out as well, there are a few concessions that the authorities have applied. So for example, looking at online-based application processes, so that would significantly help in terms of being able to know which route an application should rather take as opposed to the standard format that was in place prior to the pandemic. We also need to consider the fact that right now, a lot of regulatory bodies have become involved in the process. So not only are we looking at immigration authorities that are overseeing applications, but there's also the involvement of health officials as well as special task force that have been required to assist in ensuring that quarantine procedures are being adhered to and ensuring safe movement of people on the ground. The more immediate steps that companies would consider, rather, is the fact that policy shift is currently taking place. There's a lot of movement from the authorities trying to be a bit more accommodating in a sense that, for example, in Nigeria, the authorities have moved from a 14-day quarantine period and moved to a 7-day process. This on its own is an indication that the authorities are considering the fact that 14 days could be quite extensive for companies and that people would not ordinarily be able to start work immediately while when arriving in the country. There's also a lot of changes on the ground everything is changing because a lot of the laws have been developed from other countries and borrowed from other foreign countries, and therefore implementing it on the ground has become a bit of a challenge. There's also the factor of audits. Companies need to go back to the drawing board in a sense that they need to go look at what they have on the ground. So considering old staff detail, the old workforce, and also consider the essential movement of people. So only in such instances would they then need to consider whether they'd want to move a person into a particular jurisdiction. Some of the challenges that we've also noted is that a lot of companies will need to go back and plan yet again, like I've mentioned before. Companies need to look at whether all the corporate documentation are still in place. A lot of documents tend to expire during this time. So go back and check that all documents that have been collated are still relevant and still applicable. There's a lot of uncertainty on the ground. Consider the fact that things are fluid currently at the moment and things are being developed on a daily basis. So what has been law yesterday will not be the law tomorrow. So there's a lot of consideration that needs to take place, and involvement of experts would definitely remove that great responsibility from companies. And also another significant trend that we have noted is the enforcement of localization across the region. And this would definitely impact how workforce movements and remobilizations we know would work in the future.
That's very interesting, Nampi, because what we were seeing even in the pre-COVID days was, you know, quite a significant focus on localization policies or nationalization policies, and some impacting specifically the oil and gas industry. And I'd just like to turn to Caroline on that point, because, you know, there is a broader impact on economies and you know, widespread unemployment, not only in the SSA region, but worldwide, where we're starting to see shifts of immigration policy towards an increased focus on localization. So Caroline, if you could talk about, you know, specifically what's the impact across, you know, Nigeria, Angola, and Mozambique that we're seeing in respect of localization.
Thank you, Murtaza. So I think it's important to highlight in the first instance that the pandemic had a drastic impact oil and gas sector, but not only in the oil and gas sector, also surrounding supporting sectors. So for instance, in the oil and gas sector, you have other sectors that support it, for instance, your logistical services. So the impact was far reaching and it had ripple effects, which then resulted in massive job losses, because you can imagine since March, some projects came to a standstill. A lot of people had to go back home. A lot of skills that had been deployed in Angola, Nigeria, Mozambique had to go back home. Some have been in quarantine since the beginning of the lockdown period. And also with the drop in demand due to lockdown, as well as the shutdown of all these projects, you can appreciate that there were quite a number of losses in terms of jobs for locals in these countries that in the oil and gas sector. And obviously, whenever there are job losses, then governments tend to take a very protective approach where their locals are concerned, because then it means they start to scrutinize each and every application comes in to ensure that if you're bringing in an expert, is it a skill that is required? Is this a skill that cannot be found locally? Because they also want to ensure that at the end of the day, they protect the livelihoods of their nationals. So having said that, we've seen a tendency for a lot of authorities to start focusing on the localization requirements that have been set. And they've always been there, these requirements, but sometimes you notice that they've not been fully enforcing them. But what we've noted, I mean, I'll take Nigeria as an example. They've started enforcing their localization requirements. So for instance, if you're applying for an application in the oil and gas sector, it first has to go to the Content Management Board, they call it the NCDMB, and this is regulating both short and long-term applications just to ensure that the necessary skills transfer is happening. Because I think the principle in the countries that we're mentioning, Nigeria, Angola, and Mozambique, is that expatriates are not supposed to build careers in those countries. Expatriates are supposed to come in, transfer skills, and at an agreed time, locals are supposed to take over. So now we have a situation where they are now starting to scrutinize those localization and succession plans to ensure that locals are being taken into account whenever a foreign national is brought in. So for instance, if you look at Nigeria, they have a policy that says when you're applying for your quota, if you are employing one foreign national, then you need to also employ two locals to understudy the foreign national for the purposes of succession, as I mentioned. Similarly, in Angola, it's a 50-50 policy. If you bring in a foreign national, you also need to bring in an Angolan understudy so that they can also be able to take over for the purposes of succession. So all these policies are now starting to be looked at, and there's a heightened compliance environment that is currently going on. I've noted, particularly in Angola, where if you submit an application and your Angolanization plan has not been approved by the Minister of Petroleum, you may submit 10 applications and the authorities will reject the applications because you are not meeting the relevant localization requirements. And similar is also happening in Nigeria, where they're very strict on their localization. And this year, we've seen they've started to do their annual audits much, much earlier than they normally do in previous years. So I think because of everything that has happened during the year 2020, due to the job losses, due to the pandemic and all the other crises that have come about, one thing that has happened is that governments are becoming more conscious about compliance. So I think if there's one thing I would say in terms of localization is that companies must ensure that they are complying with the localization regulations that have been set in the countries that they are operating in. And sometimes it boils down to engaging professionals to be able to explain and also to help you to interpret the regulations and what exactly is required, and even to draft the relevant documentation, because you can imagine for most of these countries, you need to have a succession plan. In the case of Angola, you need to have an Angolanization plan. In the case of Nigeria, you need to submit a quota. And on a monthly basis, you also need to submit returns. And these returns must evidence that you have understudies that are constantly being trained. So it is important for companies to ensure that they comply with the regulations, and also for companies to ensure that they go back to the contracts that they signed when they initially entered these countries. Because sometimes you find that in the contracts, there are some obligations that are raised. Because a lot of companies, when they come into the oil and gas countries, they commit to enhancing locals, to building up the local workforce, the local environment. And sometimes when they start operating, there's a tendency to forget these obligations that would have been set. And these only come to the fore once the company has been audited and is now being asked to account or to provide evidence of what has been done since they started operating in that country. And as a result, you find that in countries like Angola and even Nigeria, you may find the company being slapped with heavy fines and sometimes sanctions. You may find that a company is being blacklisted in such a way that they are unable to get their permits issued until they have resolved the issues at hand. So it's important for companies to ensure that they are always having good relations with the government, they are always meeting their obligations, and above all, compliance is key. They are being compliant with the regulations that have been put in place, particularly with regards to localization, because this is an area of focus. And this is an area that can result in your operations coming to a standstill, because when you're being audited, when you're being fined, chances are that the government would put your operations at hold because you can't bring any skills into the country. So I'll reiterate, compliance is key. Thank you, Mutaza.
Thanks, Caroline. I mean, it sounds like there's a lot of existing localization regulation or policies that are in place that companies obviously need to be mindful of. And what you mentioned was that there are some that are specific to the oil and gas sector at a broader regulatory level, but there are some that are inbuilt into individual contractual obligations that oil and gas companies may have. And beyond that, there may be possible ramifications of COVID related policies, at a not only oil and gas, but nationwide, level that may take place that need to be continued to be monitored. And to Johannes's earlier point as well, monitoring of the changes, is an ongoing best practice, I would say, that companies must follow to make sure that you have the up to date country regulations. To that effect, Fragment has a dedicated COVID-19 website which provides that up to date information. It also provides for a remobilization guide to get you to start thinking about what are the key issues and some of those key issues that Nompi walked us through around maintaining overall compliance of your existing workforce, but being prepared for incoming deployments, whether that's documentation, engaging with the government on getting your quotas in place, managing expectations on timelines. Don't make commitments to customers because there's that are tighter, and build in the extra time because of government backlogs, or make sure there's provisions in your agreement that cover you for delays that relate to government processing. And also look at, some of the practical issues that are emerging around the requirement for COVID tests, isolation or quarantine requirements, et cetera, that are again being implemented as airspaces are reopening around the world. So a lot of insights shared today by our experts, whom I'd like to thank for their contributions. With that, I also want to thank everyone for listening to this podcast, and wish you all the best. Stay safe, everyone.
The Immigration Conversation podcast is presented by Fragaman, the leading firm dedicated exclusively to immigration services worldwide. To stay updated on the most current trends and services worldwide, visit our website at www.fragaman.com for the latest podcast episode. This podcast is for informational purposes only and is current as of the date of publication. This podcast does not constitute legal advice or give rise to an attorney-client relationship between any viewer and our firm. If you have any questions, please contact the global immigration professional with whom you work at Fragaman.